Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topic focuses on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker Sr., is the host. We engage experts and guests from time to time in various areas or disciplines of study, and most importantly, you, the listening audience, in provocative conversations. The show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. And we're grateful tonight that you can join us in another episode tonight that we are sharing is, the topic is, has the dream been deferred? Has the dream been deferred? In 1963, at the March on Washington, Dr. Martin Luther King shared a dream. And in his dream, he spoke of race relations being improved and the idea of together and to become one in America. Tonight is, has that dream been deferred? What we aim to do to compare Dr. King's dream with the dream of the framers of the United States of America and answer that question tonight as to whether or not it's been deferred. If you're listening, a new listener, give us a call here at 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. We will be happy to entertain your comments or your questions. We just ask that you keep it relevant to our topic for tonight, as well as when you share, be considerate of all of our callers and listeners and offer a relevant conversation to our dialogue tonight. That's what the intent of the show is. Okay. We have a special guest on with us, a young man who's going to come with us, Mr. Malachi Gregory. We're going to introduce him formally in just a little bit after our monologue is completed. And we hope to have our regular panelists on, Pastor Ricky Waller eventually, and other callers and participants in the show. but we invite you again to join us, 657-383-0944. We will hear from Dr. Martin Luther King tonight, and we will see if we can analyze the dream and determine if, in fact, it has been deferred or if it's yet alive. Having said that, without further ado, we're going to get into our monologue here, and hope you join us here, 657-383-0944. Again, has the dream been deferred? Proverbs, the 6th chapter and 9th verse reads, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" The term dream is defined thusly: a series of thoughts, images, or sensations occurring in a person's mind during sleep. It also applies to contemplation of the possibility of doing something or something being a reality. Now, let's look at the dream of the founders and the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King, and then we're going to hear from him just briefly, and let's get into this discussion tonight. The American dream is a national philosophy of the United States. The set of ideas such as democracy, rights, liberty, opportunity, and equality are all involved. And for them, freedom includes the opportunity of prosperity and success, as well as an upward social mobility for the family and children, achieved through hard work in society with few barriers. That's the dream. In the definition of the American dream by James Truslow Adams in 1931, he writes, quote, "Life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each according to ability or achievement," end quote, regardless of social class or circumstances at birth. The American dream is rooted in that all famous document, the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims that all men are created equal with the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, that's what the framers offered as their dream for America. Well, in 1963, Dr. King had a dream. He shared it. "I have a dream," quote unquote, is a public speech that was delivered by the renowned Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the March on Washington, staged for bringing attention to the need for jobs and freedom. This was held on August 28, 1863, as previously stated, and in which Dr. Martin Luther King and the organizers calls for the end to racism and the call for civil rights and economic rights in America. It was delivered to approximately, reported anyway, 250,000 some civil rights supporters from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Beginning with a reference to the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed slaves in 1863, King observes that 100 years later, the Negro still is not free, quote, end quote. Now, toward the end of the speech, King departed from his prepared text. Behind him was the gospel singer at that time, Mahalia Jackson. Girl could sing like a bird. And she told him, Martin, tell him about the dream. Tell him about the dream. You see, Martin Luther King had stated this same speech several times before the NAACP and other groups. And this was a national audience of people. And she felt like it was important that he share it. So he went off script. Part of the dream or the speech, he got real excited and he roused the listeners. And it became one of his most famous speeches, where he described his dream of freedom and equality arising from a land of slavery and hatred. A writer named John Meacham writes that with a single phrase, Martin Luther King Jr. joined the ranks of Thomas Jefferson and Lincoln. Of course, you know Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, and Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, or ordered it, I should say. These men shaped American history from time immemorial. Widely held as a masterpiece of rhetoric, loose, fancy words, evoked pivotal documents of American history, as I made reference to earlier, the Declaration of Independence and Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, as well as the Constitution of the United States. He alludes to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, saying 50 years ago, which was a very moving and stirring quote, in reference to abolition of slavery that was articulated in the Emancipation Proclamation. These are the things that rived up many people in 1863. He talked about how 100 years later, from 1863 to 1963, that this was the dream and that it was still a nightmare that was being lived. Now, just for a few minutes here, let's listen to a little bit of that speech, and then we're going to introduce our guest here and open up the phone line.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My Country, Tears of Thee." Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
You're listening to Talk Straight. Our topic tonight, has the dream been deferred? This is your host, Reverend Dockery, 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in. With us tonight, we have a young man, 23 years old, Mr. Malachi Gregory, who is electronic, works in electronics at a local company here in Nashville, Tennessee, and a graduate of Antioch High School in 2013, currently pursuing a degree in gaming designing and 3D animation. I want to ask him, Pastor Waller and Outcast, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing, Pastor?
Fine, you?
Great. Malachi, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good. I want to, Pastor Waller and Outcast, if y'all bear with me, I want him to help get us straight. When I talked to him and invited him, I told him that we got some old cats that are stuck in yesterday. He needs to help us come out of it. Outcast, I appreciate you offering your wisdom, my brother. And let's get into it. Malachi, Dr. King dreaming, man. Was he on something? What's up with that? Where we at today? Is that real?
If Martin Luther King was alive today, I would say that what he was dreaming and what he wanted to happen has happened. As far as blacks and whites getting along and being able to go to the same school together and sit beside each other and sit on a bus, the same bus and all of that, I will say that for the most part, that has been accomplished. I can say that I can walk into a store and, you know, I don't see any whites-only signs or anything like that. I haven't had any problems as far as me just walking anywhere and someone telling me they don't feel I belong here. I haven't experienced anything like that. So as far as, you know, has his, you know, his message and dream has been passed on, I believe it was a success. And I do believe that majority of people, black, white, do get along.
So do you think there's economic equality, and do you think black people are faring equally economically and socially with their white counterparts?
Sometimes I don't believe we are. I do believe
that. Now, is that American
certain
fault? I was going to ask you, is that America's fault that the framers of the Constitution dream fail, or was that black people? I'm going to get these old cats in just a minute, but go ahead.
Um, I don't necessarily think it was black people's fault. It's and I only say that because it's pretty hard to catch up when you think about us being oppressed and stuff like that. You don't just recover from slavery that easily. We were definitely put down pretty hard, and we didn't really have any rights. So as far as equality, as, you know, me being able to go to the same school as a white or a Caucasian male, excuse me, I do believe that is possible. But as far as, let's say, advancing, getting a job or anything like that, or we can look at the White House as an example. I mean, you don't really see too many people in that role, and I'm not sure if that's, you know, just – because of skin color, or it's because maybe more Caucasians are just into that role. But I do believe that there are still some restrictions on the few things that black people can do in America.
Okay. All right. All right. Wow. Pastor Waller, what about that, man? Talk to me now.
Well, I think the young man is onto something, you know, because nothing was able to take away from what this man personally said that he had. And he admitted to the world. And he said it with such confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't say, I was asleep and had a dream.
Right.
He said, I had a dream.
Oh,
and that means
oh,
no
one oh.
take from you. You see? You know, when you have something and you have it, you know you have it, it's something built within. And when he established that thought of knowing that he have one, and he said, I had that dream. It's mine. I got it now. I know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I may not be around here, you know, to see it come to pass, but that didn't take away from his presence today. You see what I'm saying? And so, yeah, you know, I can really, really, really see how effective it really is. Now, it's going to take some getting used to for other people. Now. See, not everybody was able to handle that because they see how gradually it has come to pass.
Okay.
And it's almost like a fight to see that it go no further. And as you were talking about, see, how when you've been weaned off from something, you know, that you have been so used to, and you pass it down, you see, and someone pick it up and carry it on out, and suddenly those people that you were passing it down to no longer want to be affiliated with it. And so they say, I'm going to get with them brothers and sisters, you know, and let them know in action that I meant you no harm. You see, it's like that. So it's pretty tough situation, man, you know.
Okay.
And let me explain this right here, and I'm going to turn it back over.
Okay.
When you talk about slavery, there's another form of slavery. You know, and so you have to understand that to wake up and recognize it is what's happening now. There's a song by a man by the name of Lee Williams, I think that's that cat name. And he sung the song saying, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to make change, you know? And so, you know, you have to be strong when it comes down to once you wake up, don't fall back to sleep. And and that's what slavery is all about, man. If we are asleep, I mean, we're going to continue to be enslaved in many other areas that we don't have to be enslaved in. So good point by the young brother. I think being on.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Outkast, it's been 54 years now, man, since that oration was given at the Mall on Washington. What's up with us now, though? What's our problem now?
What's the problem now? May I respond to the young man?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. And when you do so,
with the, what he stated, you know, he don't see signs and things in that nature, black, white. I said this, look a little deeper, study a little deeper. They still have signs up, not want Negroes in places. Example, when I was drinking real heavy, I went to a liquor store, right? As I walked up to the door, there was a sign that said, no sagging. Okay, I politely walked in, ordered what I wanted. And you know, he was a black guy. You know, he was running the cash register. I said, excuse me, sir. You give me a pen and a sheet of paper. He said, yeah, sure. I said, you see that sign that you got out there on that door? No sagging, sagging, S-A-G-G-I-N, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I spelled sagging backwards.
Okay.
And when I spelled it backwards, you know what it stated. No niggers. Okay. This is actually what sagging is about. This is the other end of sagging. You know, sagging is just niggers spelled backwards, N-I-G-G-A-S.
I see.
Okay. You know, he was amazed when I showed him. He said, wow. Okay, so you don't want no black men coming into your store, you know, with the, you know, pants down or whatever. I said, look at that. He said, wow. I came back 3 weeks later. Guess what? The sign was no longer there. There are still signs out there, but they are subtle signs. And sometimes you have to be able to decipher through them. There are signs out there, young man. Believe it. And I hold right there.
Okay. Well, Malachi, you want to respond there? You have anything you want to say in response to that?
Just a little quick take. To elaborate a little bit more on what I said, I know there are signs out there, but as far as, like you said, they're subtle and, you know, they're not necessary. They're more of a subliminal message, I guess, what you're saying. And I guess maybe I should have paid a little bit more attention to that. And I do see the signs. I mean, we've seen what happened in Virginia and all of that stuff. So, and I do agree with him. I do think there are signs still out there. But just to elaborate on him a little bit more, just, I mean, the signs aren't out there as they used to be, which to me is a good thing because there were bad – there was, I mean, years ago when slavery was still around, there were bathrooms on the water fountains, hell, the bus stops, I believe, at a point in time. So, like I said, just as far as equality,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel I'm second to no one because of my skin color.
Wow.
And that's what I'm about at.
Okay. That's real right there. That's real. Okay, well, now, Outkast, I see
yes.
You got 1080. Do you want to jump in at any time, 1080? Outkast, now, is the word sagging and the word nigger in the lexicon, whether it's formal or informal, is it used in the American lexicon today? Are those
well,
words
used? It's slang. It'll fall down up under the slang nature of it. But sagging, S-A-G-G-I-N, when you turn it around, spread it back, niggas.
Right.
You know, like a lot of times. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I got that. My question is, is there such thing as sagging? Are there individuals who sag?
Yeah, you know, what you have, you have young blacks, young whites, young Hispanic, Asians,
yeah.
and they call each other nigger, you know?
Okay.
I mean, they have took the word nigger, where the true spelling is N-I-G-G-E-R, but slang, nigger, N-I-G-G-A. You know, even back in the day, slavery and things of that nature, a lot of times when you look at programs and things of that nature, where they got the captions on and things of that nature, you know, it's N-I-G-G-A-S, niggas,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
But in all reality, the young man, you know, he mentioned the statues and things of that nature. They can remove all the statues they want, you know,
mm-hmm.
but still –
mm-hmm.
That's not going to take away the racism and the bigotry. The racism and the bigotry will be here always, even in your places of employment. They're together, you know. Some Negroes get advanced, you know, and some don't. But, you know, that's the way the ball bounce. But I hold, sir, because I don't want to take
okay.
a lot of time. Talk.
Well, I raise that question because it seems to me, gentlemen, Malachi and others, it's a mindset. I like the way Outkast brought out the fact that it's not just African-American, Negro-colored young people, and some old ones too, some chronologically old rascals saying it. It's not just them, but I've seen a lot of Caucasians. I've seen a lot of Asians that are hanging with Negroes and Caucasians and some Hispanics. Likewise, it's become the fad. It's a mindset.
What do you think about that, Malachi? Do you think that this is a mindset that particularly your generation, members of your generation, have adopted as a imagery or characteristic that they want to be known and seen by? Malachi?
Now, are you speaking on the whole sagging thing or just like the word itself as it
well,
just being like...
Okay, so Greg, I'm speaking of the act of letting your pants hang down, showing your underwear, and if you ain't got no drawers on, you're behind. The whole idea of walking around in a slovenly way, in a way that is uncouth and not consistent with the norms of society. What I mean by that is when it comes to being taken serious as a man in the workforce and in the culture and so forth, and people taking you seriously. That's what I mean by that.
I definitely believe that it is, maybe it is something, it is definitely something in this generation that I believe is trending or once was trending. It still is, but I don't think the whole sagging thing is what is trending right now. If you know what I've paid attention to and what is transcending is men and males in general are starting to wear a little bit. I don't want to say tighter clothes, like they're just really tight on them, but it seems that they got away from the whole, I want my clothes to be baggy. Like, I can remember, I don't want to get off topic, but I can remember in the mid-2000s, it was, the baggy jerseys, the baggy pants, and that seemed to be the thing. Now it seems to be that, now there are still people out there that sad, because I see it from time to time, and I do think it is a mindset. And I think maybe, you know, the younger cats do think that it's kind of cool. And to the younger females, what's trending is attractive to them. So if that's what's trending, that's what's going to be attractive to the younger audience as far as females and males. But I am starting to see less of that sagging mentality that you said, the mindset. I'm starting to see less of it, but it's still people doing it, but I don't see a lot of the young kids doing that anymore. It seems like everybody is kind of, things as different generations come in, different things are noted to society as acceptable and not acceptable, and I'm starting to just see maybe sagging is starting to kind of just die out a little bit. But there are still people that do it, and it's still slightly a trend. And I do think that it is a trending mindset to just, you cool if you sag, you're this and that if you sag. So I do agree that it is a mindset that this younger generation has.
Okay. Now, Pastor Waller. Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay, my question is this. We're on Martin Luther King. What if Martin Luther King was alive and saw what's going on in the black generation? Do you think that he would approve of it? Just approve of it. What's that old dance they got? The women, that old dance they got, whatever it is. Do you think that he would approve of that?
Hold on 1 second. Hold your thought there, Malachi. I got a caller from 804. Last four digits is 1249. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor.
Hey.
How you doing?
I just tuned in.
Okay. All right. Well, feel free to jump in and follow us, ask any questions, give your comments here. We're going to turn the floor over to our guest for tonight, Mr. Malachi Gregory. Go ahead, Mr. Gregory. What were you going to say?
Back to answer. I think it was Outkast who asked the question.
Yes.
If Martin Luther King would be yes or no. I do believe as you get older in life, you start to see things that younger people do that you feel are or you deem that is silly, dumb. And I do agree some of the dances and all that are ridiculous, and some of the things that the younger black African-Americans are doing are ridiculous. But I do just – when you kind of just getting older a little bit, certain things just seem like they're just out of character and dumb. As far as him – being happy or approving what we're doing, I think he would approve it just for the simple fact that look where we are now. Back then, Back then, and I don't want to seem say that people are stuck in the past, but I do believe that a certain era of people are stuck in the past. And I don't say he would approve it because, you know, or I don't want to say he would disapprove it because the dances and all that. I want to say he would approve it because if he was still alive, he would clearly see that what he was speaking and what he was dreaming came into reality. It actually happened. Young black Americans can go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're saying that he would say that the dream was somewhat realized?
Somewhat realized, yes.
Dr. King would say the dream was realized. Interesting. Okay. I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just saying, you know, years, like back again in slavery, people couldn't, you know, I know that all we had as slaves was music and all that, but, you know, you got black people dancing with white people. You know, you even got Caucasian people doing our dances now. You know, we come up with these dances, and now they're doing them, and now they're in love with our culture. And the fact that, you know, you got all different types of races doing what we created, I think is definitely a step in the right direction.
Let me ask Pastor Wallace.
Years ago, that wasn't the case.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Melica. Let me ask Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace, is that the mark of success? If everybody decided they were going to slap themselves upside the head with a hammer and it became fashionable, is that a mark of success because everybody's doing it?
You know, it's not, but sometimes people will adapt to it. You know, however, I do believe now that Martin,
stood absolutely.
Memo. And, you know, what he put down, he had confidence in it.
You know,
and all the times that being discouraged and all those things didn't stop him from recognizing the dream and putting emphasis on it by way of saying, and I like the part where he put that he may not be here to see it come to pass.
I see.
You know,
okay.
That was his thing too. But it has taken place. And as I said earlier, when people who are not in agreement with it have to deal with it, it's painful, I'm sure, to them because they can see the power of what this man dreamed.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
And when you look at those cats doing those dances and how they want to talk and follow the trend in which the black man and the woman is putting down, you know, you can see how he's developing into power. And so in order for it to no longer continue, you have to find ways, you know, to enslave the mindset that would cause us not to, in certain areas, to stand firm in. See, we'll let you dress, we'll let you sing, we'll let you do all this. But it's one thing that I want to put out there, and I'm sure that would cause us to be enslaved in our mind, something that'll capture, you know, something that'll cause us to think, you know how I say, one way all the time, you know, like every day you're thinking this thought right here, that means you're controlled by that thought. For instance, a drug. If I put a drug out and save you with it, and this is on your mind each and every day, that means that's toward, working toward, you're working toward getting high.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, that's a slavery. And it has caused me to not do what we probably would do had we not been captured by the drugs increasingly. So it's amazing, but I give you. It's a powerful thing that he did, man.
Yeah. But let me go to the caller from Virginia. Based on what you've heard, what's your assessment? We're talking about Dr. King's dream, and we're asking, has his dream been deferred? Has it been realized? Our guest tonight is a 23-year-old young man who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He believes there's been some successes, that there are some noticeable changes, some progress. But it seems as if 55 54 years later, we're still struggling. What say you, Virginia? You there, caller? Okay, we can't hear him now. But if you can, if you hear us later, let me go to Charles. Well, Charles, what do you think about it?
Shit, 54 years later, I feel like we're still kind of in the same boat. Even though Martin King, he gave us, you know, he had a dream about us, you know, for us coming together and stuff. But I feel like it been partially fulfilled. I mean, yeah, we do interact better with one another, but I feel like that shouldn't even never happen. So I can't really give a whole lot of props to it. I feel like it hope this way shouldn't even never happen, you know, mate. But as far as him having that dream and seeing that, he should see that because that's how it's supposed to be. That's not no miraculous thing. I mean, it should be like that's how it's supposed to be. But as far as the people in the higher positions, I feel like it's having changed in the higher positions. What it really matters, I feel like it's still a little bit more, I still feel like a little racism still going on in that area. But as far as the majority of people, yeah, we get along with each other. We can work together. We can do different things amongst each other, but in the position where it counts for, like in government and politicians and stuff like that, they're still the same way. They haven't changed at all.
Right, right. You know, Charles, what I find interesting is Dr. King was purporting that there's a need to focus on economic and social justice, right? Well, the framers suggest that there are certain rights that are unchangeable for all men, and those involve life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. One might argue that there's a correlation there. And so it begs the question, if the 14th Amendment, which guaranteed human rights, if the 15th Amendment that gave you the right to vote, if the 13th Amendment that set you free and gave you rights of citizenship along with the 14th Amendment, if those things were real, then why are we still having this conversation? And more importantly, who's responsible for making sure those things profit or benefit you? Is it the government or is it the individual themselves? Right now we're talking about African Americans.
I feel like right now the people don't have a voice. I mean, I feel like we sit in puppets. I mean, whatever they want to do, they're going to do. Man, they can whatever to make you feel a little bit more comfortable, to make Martin King's speech a little bit more bearable so you can't complain. But overall, I feel like they got control of the whole situation anyway. They just do that to kind of quiet you up, kind of reason, kind of like how we got Obama, but he still got an agenda he got to follow. You see what I'm saying? So it's starting to set a agenda for America, so by you voting, they really don't care. But that's their way of saying, well, you had a chance. You know, and definitely if you don't vote, you really don't have a voice at all. But even the people who voted, we still got, you know, we're in the situation we're in today. And look at the president we got.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, that's Belakai. Do you agree with him, or do you see where he's coming from?
Yeah, I see where he's coming from, and I actually agree with him. I do believe that.
What?
Now, let me explain myself. I do agree with him because, I mean, if you have, let's say you own a job and you say one side is complaining, they don't feel that, you know, they don't feel equal to everybody else. They don't get the equal wages. They don't get a nice water fountain by the bathroom. It's easy to just give people things to shut them up, but it's not so easy to hide that there's still, you know, feelings that people, or a certain way that people feel about someone. Because I still see from time to time that African Americans don't get the same human rights that Caucasians do. For one, carrying with a license, permitted to carry. It seems like that is just a human right that Caucasians benefit more than an African American. I mean, we've seen videos. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me be clear. You're talking about the right to carry a weapon, the Second Amendment?
Yes. Yes.
And let me make sure I'm hearing you clearly. You're suggesting that whites benefit from that more than blacks. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It seems that they benefit more than that than anybody else.
Oh. All right. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
It just seems like they're more afraid of an African-American to carry a weapon than a Caucasian. And like I said, I mean, I've seen plenty of times I forgot the one male name I seen in the video on Facebook. Actually, when it was streaming live from his wife, that, you know, the cop asked him, you know, do you have any weapons on you? He says, yes, I have a license to carry. The officer told him, all right, can you show me it? He reached into his pocket to get it. The officer shot him. I forgot the name of that male that passed away.
You're talking about Fernando Castillo?
Yes. And the way that they treated him, and I don't want to take too long on this, but the way that they treated him and his family wasn't, you know, the way that I've seen Caucasians treated. I've seen videos of Caucasians using their rights, walking down the street with their weapons. The cop pulls over, asks them, do they have, you know, the license to carry? They show them that. Go on about their day. Why is it that, you know, it seems like certain human rights we just don't benefit from? It just seems like we don't get them rights.
Okay. All right. I take your point. Let me try to engage 804 Virginia, 1249. Are you there, caller? Okay. Looks like we're having some kind of difficulty connecting with him. But, okay, that's interesting, Malachi and Charles. Let me – can I? You gentlemen don't mind if I play devil's advocate here a little bit, do you? Charles, can you hear me?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
All right, Malachi, you ain't going to be mad at me if I play devil's advocate a little bit. All right.
No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Outkast, what I'm hearing from Brother Charles and Malachi, their position is, here's their premise, that there is a systematic process that works against African Americans. Therefore, African Americans are not privy to the rights and opportunities as everyone else in society. My question to the audience and to these gentlemen, I appreciate them sharing it. And again, this is Talk Straight. The topic tonight is, has a dream been deferred? 657-383-0944. And the question that we're asking is, how well have we positioned ourselves to live out the words of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? And if we've done that well, does that improve our quality of life and our standing in society? Either one of y'all want to address that?
I guess I would say yes it would, but you know, when I look at the black people as a whole, you have good, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly in every way, in every race. It seems like the bad in every race, you know, overwhelms it's just like throwing a rotten apple over into a bunch of good apples. Since that bad apple went over it, you know, everyone is bad. When it comes to Constitution and things of that nature, no, haven't lived up to it. I hold right there.
Okay. All right. Pastor Wall, you want to chime in on that?
Sure. I continue to think this is what I think. And I think on thoughts of how you made known of the Scripture. You know, and I remember that he said, in all of your ways, acknowledge me. You know, and I like to acknowledge him while I say anything about him or not. I still recognize the difference between trusting him versus trusting myself. And I refuse to trust me today. So what I like to say is, when a person is asleep, the person don't know what to do. There's a difference in being asleep and dreaming. The man had his dream, he carried it out, right? Now, God, it is now high time to awake out of sleep.
Okay.
You know, to cast off the works of darkness, you know, because darkness back into play so strong, even though this man done his part, even though you find all these different ethnic group of people assembling together now for the most part, and those who really don't care anything about it, they have to learn to accept it, even though they don't mean it. It's like pretending to be something that they're not. Even though they're conceiving themselves, they still have to be open to know that maybe their kids want to be connected with the black brothers and sisters again. And it's prevalent. They go out, they hang out. You know, you can see the power in it, the real side. You know, in other words, the OJs, they show the real side of where you are. And some of them are showing the real side, while those others have a masquerade going on. They're pretending to like you, knowing that they really don't. Okay, that could still be going on. But could you imagine the power of what that man stood for, and then we fall back into a deep sleep? You see what I'm saying? As a result of taking something in particular, or going someplace, or doing something by way of a dance, or, you know, going over here to hang out, just, you know, people, places, and things. It's surrounded by that, man. And I mean, the power is in what are we doing now? You see what I'm saying? What are we doing right here, right now, concerning the situation? Did anybody pick up the baton? Go ahead.
Here's the thing.
Can I make one more statement?
Give me one second there, Outkast. Okay. Interesting thing about all of this, gentlemen, is this. When we look at the definition of a dream, it involves thoughts and images and sensations that run across your mind while you're unconscious. And I want to park with that word, unconscious. There were people unconscious in 1863, 1963, and by God, still unconscious in 2017. So best you're going to get, the best you're going to get is a dream. Now, when you wake up and you face reality, you have a far better chance of changing whatever is in front of you. But you got to be conscious. Go ahead, Alcat. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. He was talking about the Castillo guy, right? The one that the police shot, you know, when the girl were in.
Terrible.
His daughter was in Jefferson Street.
Right.
Now, it was a white guy. Pardon me?
Uh-huh. That's a terrible incident.
It was a white guy. He had robbed, you know, he had broken a house, you know, in another county.
Right.
And he had the person's cell phone. They tracked him by the cell phone, tracked him down on Jefferson Street. White guy had a gun. Police shot him, killed him. Nothing was seen.
Uh-huh.
Nothing.
Okay.
See, now they killed whites too. Again, no, look a little deeper. I hope. Thank you.
Okay. The truth of the matter is that every time an incident where police are involved takes place, there's a record of it, and it goes to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and they give out a uniform crime report of all these incidents. And for the last 10 years or better, the numbers have held the same. Over 50%, gentlemen, of all the homicides in the United States involve African Americans. And 93% to 95% of over a period of years involved black on black crime. But only fewer of them, there were incidents where police officers killed black males. As Outkast is saying, they killed white males as well. But only few of them in comparison in number were consistent with the narrative. There is this all out assault on black males by police officers and things. Here's a problem I think that we can help our brothers with, because I think that is a concern. I know that causes a lot of people to be afraid when they get in their car, when they go to the grocery store and things of that nature. But one way you can alleviate that, Malachi, is to make sure, first and foremost, now does that mean that's going to get rid of all the evil in the world? No. But make sure you're in order. Make sure you're conscious of your environment, what you do, where you go, how you do it, and how you manage your own affairs. You stand a far better chance, I respectfully submit to you, of being coming out on top than any other way when you're conscious and you're awake and you're aware. What about that, Malachi?
I agree on that. You definitely do need to be aware of your surroundings and be in order. But there are several occasions when people are in order, and that doesn't seem to matter.
But, and I do think to kind of alleviate some of that, maybe you, some people should just, you know, if you do get pulled over, just make it easy for both parties so things don't escalate. Because you may have a cop who's not having, you know, I know everybody expect cops to be just these robot people who, you know, they don't make mistakes and, you know, they don't ever have bad days. They're not supposed to. And if they have a bad day, you know, we're all human. I think people think cops are, you know, almost like athletes. You don't ever really expect an athlete, a professional athlete, to be flawless. But everybody has flaws. And, you know, I remember talking to my brother about this, you know, he and my dad about this. They were saying, you know, even if you feel the cop is in the wrong, maybe something, you know, I've seen people try to use their rights, but that seemed to only escalate the problem. Maybe if the cop is just asking for IDs, sometimes maybe it's just the best thing is just to give him the ID. Because cops are really good at, the dirty ones are really good at nitpicking and knowing how to escalate a situation. So you do get pulled over for anyone who's listening, and all the cop is asking for is an ID, some proof that you're a registered citizen in the United States. Maybe it's just best to just give him what he wants and move on with your day. And that's all I have to say on that matter.
Okay. Okay. All right. Charles, you want to weigh in there? Or?
Yeah, I feel like, man, as long as we're taking orders and looking for, we're just looking for them to just tell us something. We never going to win. Cause, I mean, if you like this conversation, right? I feel like this conversation by itself, it was heard by the right people. That should be enough to have change by itself. I don't know where I can keep on jumping through these hoops and keep on improving myself, you know, about stuff that's basic. Just want basic understanding, basic life, basic fairness. I don't even know why we got to fight so much towards this simple occasion, but obviously they don't want it to happen like that. That's what I'm starting to take it like. I mean, because they got here, they people Google what they did to us, they know what they did to us, and we still out here looking for an answer for them to come and solve it. Maybe it don't want to happen. So I'm starting to feel like now.
Okay. Well, now, Charles, here's one thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the United States of America. Obviously,
right.
It is not a perfect nation. And obviously, it has a lot of very negative scars to it, right? And obviously,
right.
Economics have played a major role in driving tension and wedges between particularly Caucasians and African-Americans or Negroes, black colors as we've been called over time, right? Those things we know
right.
is what we need to be conscious of, I would suggest. And that is that you could live in the past, both Caucasians and African-Americans, or you can look and work to move forward in the future and not allow those things, those ghosts of the past, to continue to haunt you in the present. Now, the truth of the matter is, if the words are true from the framers of the Constitution, all men, we hold these to be self-evident, certain truths, that all men, when I established myself as a man, I got just as much right. I like what Malachi said at the beginning of the show. I got as many rights as anybody else do, to be who I am, to be what I choose to be, right? I got those rights. Here's the catch. There's something that is consistent. There are expectations that are consistent of all men in America. And I would argue that one thing that many good brothers, and I'm working on that myself personally, is establishing myself and maintaining the establishment of myself as a man, both all economically, politically, socially, as well as emotionally in this country. Because I chose to stay here. I was born here. Chose to stay. I hadn't moved to Africa yet. I'd love to go visit. And maybe
right.
I might get a piece of land over there, y'all. But today, this is where
yeah.
I am. You understand? And and so this is where investment is. So I got to ask myself what I got to do to make it today. What I got
to
do to make
yeah,
it
you gotta today. Yeah, you got to be willing to be able to jump through these hoops, whatever they're going to tell you, whatever they throw at you. That's a scary part. I mean, you got to be a real good, you know what I'm saying, cooperative person out here. I mean, why you got to jump something in the hurdles for simple stuff? You know what I'm saying? I can play that game too, but I know what I'm up against, and I ain't foolish on that end. They only respect violence. If you protesting and throwing these little, you know, standing in the street, sitting down in the street, holding up traffic. You think they scared of that? They not, man. They just they're really flexing on us, letting you know how powerful they are. They're letting us know right now how powerful they are. Long as a black man don't have more military, you're not part of NASA. You don't know what's going on out here. That's why you can't fight, because you don't have a confidence enough to fight. And I understand why people don't fight. They're scared they're gonna lose their life. And I get it. This we're gonna keep it. That's what it really boiled down to, because we're so far behind. We could have money to have our own military by now, but we know what? We're fighting another military that's holding us back. So we lost. As long as we make moves like that, we know we're not conscious. If you were conscious, you wouldn't even make those decisions.
Well, now, Charles, I'll tell you what, sir. I noticed you put the emphasis on them and us. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah.
Here's the catch. At the end of the day, what gets the attention of people in capitalism is when you are at the bargaining table and you are able to control your own wealth. I noticed something about African Americans in particular, and this is not everybody, but many. There seems to be a dream, Pastor Waller, a dream that one day somehow pie in the sky is going to fall in my hand, and then I'll be as wealthy as everybody else. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. But if you can establish yourself not only in America, but universally, to be wealthy universally, that speaks volumes to the powers that be here, and you make room for yourself at the table of negotiation. What about that, Outkast?
Hey, I agree wholeheartedly, sir. I agree. That's what
it is. But how many of us are willing to leave America and establish a business overseas?
Not many.
I think the right people. You can open some up. I think if it's out there and it's put out there, you know, presented properly, it's possible.
You
can't just say it without telling the whole vision. They see the vision of what can happen, and that's the reality that, you know, the change they're looking for is going to happen through this. I bet a lot of people join in, but just talking about it now, they don't know it just like that. If you break it down good enough,
now,
to show them,
now Charles, I'm going to share something with you. This is real talk here. I was in Alabama, and Alabama has apportioned land, and they are giving monies from President Obama's lawsuit that the government won against the tobacco industry. And minorities, African Americans in particular, can get the money, and they will let you have the land to plant seed and harvest it and so forth and make money. Guess what most of the young brothers were saying, Charles? They were saying, I ain't going back to slavery. No, I don't want that. Well, now, it's very similar to opportunities overseas. You scared to leave mama, your girlfriend, or whoever it is that you holding on to. You scared to pull up from there and go establish yourself and do something different. And so you limit yourself to what? To your immediate environment.
Most definitely. I'd rather him say I wouldn't want to do it because of OSHA and all that. They might change the rules. Only by the time you start trying to do it, they'll set a new law in effect. You got to have this. You better not have no family. Your daddy better not have a family. They'll change. Our problem is right now is we taking it from the wrong people. I'm just going to say that. I love, but at the same time, I'm not naive to the fact that who's in control. I mean, they can change whenever they feel like it. That's a lot of power. When words can get somebody to change, they change the gas price tomorrow. You know tomorrow to pay $10 a gallon. If they tell you tomorrow, tonight on the news, you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to pay it. That's how powerful they are.
Let me tell you. Hold on. Somebody was trying to. I think that was Malachi trying to say something.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Charles. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's just how powerful they are with the words and stuff. They already got us programmed to take order and to listen. So we can say all we want. It's ultimately based on what they respond with. Is either they're going to say yes or they're going to say no. And in order for it to work in their favor to ensure that their culture is going to be ensured for years to come, they're going to continue to say no. They're not even being racist. They're just looking out for their own people. We lost the first war. We'll never be able to come back from. You see what I'm saying? Why was we taking orders from the people who killed us? That's crazy. You think the people who killed your ancestors
are going to
tell you a recipe
of
how to come up? I doubt it.
Okay. All right. I get your point. I take your point. Melo Guy, go ahead.
Well, you know, back to what you were saying, and I think, or what Charles was saying about they don't want us to learn anything, and that's why I think that us black people, we have to do better with building our own brand and supporting our own brand. I think we try to build our own brand, but I don't think we support our own brand that well.
I see.
And I don't want to sit there and compare other races who, you know, but I will say I have a Latino friend, and his dad just built, you know, I don't want to say his name, but his father just got him a company set up not too long ago. And if there's one thing I can say about Latino people is that they seem to bond, all of them seem to bond together and support their own brand. As far as, you know, same thing with, you know, these Arabians and all that's down here with the gas stations. And, you know, it seems like other races are able to come together and support their own people, culture, and brand when it comes to it. But this is what I'm just noticing from my eye. It just seems like when a black person tries to build a brand for their people, it just seems like, and like you said, we're sleek. We're not conscious of what we're doing. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're so soaked up in the American dream and, you know, America, you know, this is what you know, and also the media does a good job of painting Africa as a infested place when it's really not. Because I've spoke to many people who's went to Africa, and I'm surprised. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. If you went by the media, you got to save these kids. They starving, AIDS, diseases, you know. So you're not going to want too many younger African-American males or anybody in general. Who wants to go to a place when they're hearing all these bad things about it? If someone said, here's $1 million, let me take you to somewhere in the middle of nowhere, it's infested, people are there dying, why would you want to even invest anything in something when that's what the media is saying? So I definitely think that we need to build our own brand, you know, because everyone else does it better. It seems like the Caucasians know how to do it. Who do you think doing most of the farming? That's them. They know, they taught them, Tom, that we come together and teach ourselves. That's what they don't want us to do, is to learn how to fend for ourselves. Once we start doing that, you see what they start doing. That's one, and I don't want to take up too much time, but that's what happened in Virginia. They seen that we came out with a. Now, I hear people say it was not, you know, productive, but I think it's good to see a bunch of African American people use their rights to protest for something they feel is happening to their people. They get scared when we see we're actually utilizing our rights to do something. So what I've seen is the media doesn't like us to fend for ourselves and know our rights. They don't want us to acknowledge that we're black. When Beyonce came out to that Super Bowl and had all that Black Panther stuff out, what was they saying about her? Oh, she support cops getting killed. No, they don't want a black person to acknowledge that they're black. They don't want them to be one with their culture. They don't want us to learn. They don't want us to brand out for our culture and our people. That's why they try to divide us. The media does that better than anyone. They divide us. That's why every time a cop shoots someone, it is white cop shoots black kid. They know that people are going to pay attention to the color aspect of it, because that's what they teach you to see in America is just the color. They don't teach you to see someone as a human being. They see you to teach someone as a color. And not to take up too much time, but I myself sometimes use the word they and them, you know.
Okay.
Then I realized that there are some white Hispanics, whatever, who aren't like that. So that's just all I want to say on that. We just got to learn how to build our brand for our people and learn how to fend for ourselves.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you stating your position, young brother. Pastor Waller, what about that, man?
Well, I guess the contact with each other, you know, just on this night, you know, being connected, being on one accord, striving and, you know, and you know, I think the word of God continued to remind me, but there's two or three together in his
Uh-oh.
Name, touching him,
Uh-oh.
Then he'd be in the midst. So a lot of things is going on with him not being in the midst of us, and it causes us to be walking around as sleepwalkers. And I understand what a sleepwalker would do. I've done it for 20 years of my life, walking around with my eyes wide, unconsciously. You know what I mean? One line, get anything. But that's the thing about the Word of God, and most of us do not know what the Word of God says. And I would be the first to say that I just didn't know. But once you come to yourself and realize it, that you have been asleep, and if someone wakes you up, stay awake. That's why he say it is now high time to awake out of sleep.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When he says it's high time, in other words, it's time for us to realize you can not continue to walk around asleep like that. And
I see.
In order to do something about the problem, we have to be awake. Okay?
Yes,
now,
sir. Yes.
When I look at the situation as a whole, and I begin to preach to you, knowing that when that song was rendered by that man, Lee Williams, he said, when are we going to wake up? That's just a question. You know, it's just a question. Then the Word of God does say something about it, and then you read it tonight in your scripture. You see? And so until we do just that, that's why I don't blame other ethnic group of persons, people, places, things. I don't even do that, you know, because God is no respecter person.
Right.
So what am I doing? Am I going to fall back into a deep sleep, or am I going to do all that I can do from this point on? You see what I'm saying? If we all have a tendency to do that, man, you'll see the power of change take place, even though it seems like we're losing all the way around. But I found out, man, we have stood the test of time in spite of how one think of us and what and how they've been so-called treating us. We still have
yes,
a God that understands how we stood.
Okay.
And all
okay.
he wants to see is, do y'all know that I got what it takes? Why y'all won't call on me? You know, I mean, that's what he already knows. But there's so many people respect God, man. There's so many people in the streets right today that I see and I talk with, and they respect God to the utmost, but they just don't want to disrespect him. And they feel like with what they're doing, they can't come to him. And that's why I try to let them know. I say, look, just go to him just like y'all. That's the best way to go to him, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a good topic, and enjoying everything that's being presented.
Okay. Well, I hate we lost 804 before we could hear from him. We tried to bring him in a few times, but if you're still listening, give us a call here. Call us back. We'll be happy to. You got about 16 minutes. You know, I'm Outcast, I'm about convinced now that probably what we need is to just get a bunch of white men, black men in particular. And I hate to use those generic terms, but for the sake of argument and needed understanding, in one room, lock the doors and tell them you can't come out until y'all come to agreement. What do you think we'll do? What do you think will happen, Al-Kan?
Both sides will talk. And at the end of the conversation, they'll walk out shaking hands. You know, this,
wow.
is, what, this is what will happen. You know, what goes on in society a whole lot is when you be around a certain group of people, you know, they talk about certain things. If blacks together, you know, they'll
right.
conversation come out talking about what the white man doing, you know.
That's right.
I tell people
That's
all
right.
the time, me personally, I don't worry about what the white man doing. I worry about what I'm going to do. See, this
Amen.
Is where they lose their focus at, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the white man. It's about me. You made a good point. How can I keep myself together today? How can I keep moving? You know, now, I like what Charles said about, you know, blacks need a military. Well, according to the Constitution, you have the right to bear arms. They have militias all over the United States. And in some of those militias, you have blacks and whites in those militias. But a lot of blacks, you know, they're not interested in purchasing a lot of guns. You know, I mean, they're not. A lot of
certainly
blacks cannot purchase guns. Yeah, you know, due to felonies and things of that nature.
Correct.
But the
thing
is this, end of the day, I choose knowledge because knowledge is power. Again, unlike yourself, Reverend Doctrine, I don't worry about what the white man doing. The white man is not stopping me from doing anything. I'm free.
There you go.
You know?
That's right.
And I try to make the best choice that I possibly can, and I hold.
No, I want to echo what you're saying.
Amen. I hold.
I appreciate that. I want to echo what you're saying because the truth is you can live in a world where you're paranoid about what a white, green, purple, or yellow man is doing to you, and at the end of the day, you haven't done anything but turn in circles.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to set a course for yourself, set goals for yourself, work to fulfill those goals and materialize. And at the end of the day, you can see where you've made progress. Now, is that to say that somebody ain't going to hate on you? Because there's some black folk that's going to hate you for that. Some of them will be in your family.
Hello. Amen.
Help me, Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't want to dismiss the idea that somebody may hate on you, may be jealous or envious of your progress, your success, your discipline, your focus. I want to dismiss that reality because it's real. But it may not just be white men or white women or white people. The truth of the matter is, it's not about, I like what Malachi said. The media has a tendency to take in you off point in what's really important. What's important is not your skin color or the label of being white and black, but it's how well you utilize the opportunity and resources available to you. That's what really matters in the world. And many people have not learned how to have confidence in themselves to take advantage of that information and that knowledge and to do something for themselves. And consequently, they find themselves always on somebody else's agenda, never Malachi establishing their own agenda. You're on somebody else's agenda. But very interesting conversation. Again, I hate that we missed the brother from 804 there in Virginia, but I hope he let me just give out a number here. Feel free to give us a call if there's some question we can answer and you want to learn more about it. This is Talk Straight. It's a talk show that started by Building Families and Communities Institute. And that's our focus, building families and communities. Our website is www.bfcinstitute.com. The phone number's there at the bottom of the page and the email address, and you can subscribe to us. You know, if it's something else that I want to make sure we entertain everybody properly and others that are listening that may archive the show. Okay, question I want to raise to you, brethren, before we leave tonight. We got about maybe 11 minutes here before the show is over. Malachi, you answer this for me. What is the distance between your dream and the reality you face on a daily basis? Did you get that question?
Yes. What is the distance between your dream and reality?
And the reality that you face
on a daily basis. The distance isn't far at all. It's just the reality that said that, and you actually being conscious that, you know, like you said, that you're not sleeping and that you're not, you know, living to the standards of what white America, I hate to say that, but what white America wants you to do. I believe that any African-American female and male could definitely achieve anything that they want to, long as they are, you know, awake and know that they can pretty much do everything and that they're second to no one. I don't think that the distance from reality as far as your goals is not that far at all. You just have to realize that, you know, no one else is better than no one else. You know, everybody should treat, I wish everybody could treat each other the same, regardless of color, sex, gender, you know, anything like that. But you just have to stay conscious and awake and, you know, be aware of your surroundings and know that, you know, you're second to no one because your skin color, or no one is better than you because apparently their skin color, you know, has maybe back in the days they're better than you because their skin color is white. You know, I definitely think that there's things that, you know, I wish I had this mindset when I was a little bit younger because I maybe would have got a lot of things, you know, done that I should have got done earlier at an earlier age. But I definitely think that it's not that the distance is not that far from reality.
Interesting. Okay, okay. You know, I'm on a regular basis interacting with people of other ethnic orientations, and maybe it's just me, but I don't have too many problems with communicating with people. I try to understand and respect everybody for who they are, and sometimes people, you know, get right stupid there, okay? You understand what I'm saying? But I mean, you have to. They have a right to. I have a right to be stupid sometimes, and so do they.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Some people you deal with, and some folks you don't have to deal with. You keep it moving, though. Focus on you.
Right.
Stay focused on what you're all about. So. Well, we got 8 minutes here. Charles.
I'm here.
Are we gonna make it, man?
Yeah, of course we are.
Is this a dream or nightmare, man? Are we going to make it out of?
It just got to be understood. That's all. It can be negotiated. I mean, it's not that big. You can get big as you want to make it. But, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, do we have to say any more? Why we need this to happen? I mean, go back and check the record for yourself. Take your time.
Right.
You're not
right,
asking
right.
for too much. I mean, we're trying to keep peace. That's what it should be.
I like the way you say that, y'all. The proof is in the pudding. You know, Pastor Waller, what are we looking for, really? And I guess let me qualify, we. Well, people who are always saying they are doing something to me. What are they looking for, Pastor?
Well, I mean, to be honest and you know, just admit that in order for us to escape from something, something must have a hold on us.
Say what?
And if the word says that, you know, if we come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, taking captive by him to do his will, that means that if one captures us in our mind and we do his will, we stay asleep. That means you know, we're moving around unconsciously, as I said. But if we wake up and do this number one thing, that I'm sure I always will admit that I just did not know. When he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, you know, and we're trying to get this stuff going on, the way it's going on, right? The number one thing he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So learn of him, then, you know, and stand on it. If everybody learn of him, put him first, apparently, that's not going on. But if we knew how to do that, I mean, you would see a big-time change again. And sometimes when you're in a race and it just looks like you're never going to win, and the ones that you just look like they win, and how can they lose? But, man, believe me, we can win. All we have to do is apply it. All we have to do is apply it. I mean, every day. We can win, man, and it's real simple. But when you got someone that's controlling your mind, your every thought, and they know how to do it, which is what the game is about, how to control one's mind. And it's a lot of that's going on that I'm sure that young 23-year-old young brother that's on the line, man, I'm grateful for him because he's doing something really positive that I want him to do. How grateful I am for him being on the panel talking to us tonight. But I want him to also understand, in this world, out in the real world, there's a whole lot of young brothers, man, captured right now. As we speak, with the rain coming down, out there still trying to chase something that they'll never get, that they'll never get, that they'll never have.
Wow.
But just because of the mindset of being controlled, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what their senses, man. I mean, very intelligent and smart, but that doesn't mean anything when it comes down to what the wicked one would do to you. You see? So I'm just thankful for you, man.
Yes, yes. You know, a rhetorical question that the writer in Proverbs 6 chapter asks is, when will you wake up? How long are you going to sleep? And when are you going to wake up? That's the question that the text asks in Proverbs. We got 4 minutes. Let me give our guest here a chance to give us a final thought here, and then we'll roll out. Like Malachi, any final thoughts before we leave?
I just want to thank everybody for being here, and I enjoyed the conversation, and it's everybody pretty much took the words right out of the mouth. You just need to be aware of things and not try to tell yourself you can't do nothing, or be scared to, to speak your mind. I think that's one of the things that most young African-American males, women and female, are afraid to do, is just voice their opinion and just tell everybody how they feel, because, like you said, they're trapped or they're just not aware of what's going on. And I'm very happy that I can speak to other individuals and, hear their thoughts on what's going on now with, things like that. And I'm just very grateful to be on here.
All right, glad to have you. Glad to have you. Charles, give us something right quick. Give about 30 seconds, Charles. We got about 3 minutes.
I just want to encourage everybody, to take a challenge for the week just to see where do you spend your money at versus who's spending money with you. Just to diagnose the whole situation so you can see what's happening with America. Just watch. When you get your paycheck, watch who you spend your money with and watch who's spending money with you. That's all I say.
That's deep, that's y'all. Okay. You dropped that on the way out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me 30 seconds, okay?
Hey. Well, I know he's doing a barbershop, so basically I guess he cut a lot of black hair up in there. But, it's all good. But I enjoy the young brothers. I don't know if Malachi will come back or not. I enjoy this program because nobody bashes no one. No one is angry. Name calling thing that makes hope.
No. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Pastor Wallace, give me 30 seconds, man. We got 2 minutes, and then we're going to give our last announcement here.
All right. I would say this, brother, and I would make sure that when we realize that we're in a bit of trouble, we'll just remember what Psalms 46:1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Trouble. We just recognize his presence, you know what I mean? And let him get in our trouble with us and show us how to get up out of it.
Wow.
And I want all of us to be and believe that that's
all right. All right. Well, look, man, that's it right there. I hate to go, but we got to. I hate to leave, but we got to. www.bfcinstitute.com. That is the website. Learn about what we're doing. We endeavor to be, I'll be in Michigan on Tuesday, but we endeavor to be back with you live, and Lord willing, I don't know, we may be on, still be on the road, but we'll have another show that will come on from a previous show. But we'll stay with us, and we'll definitely be back next Thursday. But we thank you. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery, and we've had Malachi to join us tonight. Thank you so much. We've had Pastor Waller, Outcast, and our good brother Charles, and we hope you come back and join us at our next live broadcast. Thank you. We're going to sign out with this from this little brother Akon. Get locked up, won't let